Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning is from Genesis 17, verses 1 through 7, and then on to 15 and 16, and this can be found on page 13 in your Old Testament section of your pew Bible. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." Then on to 15 and 16. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." The New Testament lesson this morning is from Romans 4, verses 13 through 20. And then, let's see. And then it's on page 155 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. "For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be their heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist.' Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations according to what was said, 'So numerous shall your descendants be.' He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, 'it was reckoned to him,' were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. 'It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification.'" The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. We talked last week about promises of God. Somebody makes a promise to you. And you trust it. And you believe it. You have faith in it. And when you buy a car, there's a contract. And in that contract, you might be some fine print. Be careful what you sign. Because you don't always get the picture. But we've got that sign in case. Now, again, it is true that sometimes we think, because we have given ourselves to God through our baptism, when we're of age, we make that confession freely and of our own will. Or when we confirm the vows made by our parents or the adults, when we were baptized as infants, all of that is what we do. There are some that say, once you're saved, you're good to go. Wesley didn't believe that, in the sense that you can't run away from your salvation. There are things that we can do and say that run away. That's not to say that we can't repent. That's the whole purpose of repentance. A contrite heart, being convicted of what we've done wrong, recognize that we need to turn around and head back towards God, do what God calls us to do. Paul in Romans, the book of Romans, and there's a lot of theology in Romans. It's very, very deep. And we've been in Corinthians, and we've been in 1 Peter leading up to this, and we've talked about the glory of God, Transfiguration Sunday. We've talked about the Word of God, and what Paul preached, Christ, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified. Why? Because His crucifixion pays for our sins. The resurrection is the triumph of God's will over death itself. That's our promise. God's full of promises. The Scriptures are full of promises. We can count on them, even if we don't understand the promise. How is it going to come out? Abraham, he's 100 years old. God tells him, I'm going to make of you a great nation. You're going to have, look at yourself. Well, it's a little cloudy. It's not dark in here. But a couple of nights ago, you look up there, there were thousands, countless numbers of stars. He said, your seed will be as the number of stars, the grains of sand. Too numerous to count. Abraham, 100 years old. Sarah hasn't had children, is barren. Where is the promise? The possibility of the promise coming to fulfillment in that. Well, this thing called faith in Hebrews Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. In other words, you believe that Christ paid your sin debt and that he triumphed over death through the power of God because he resurrected him. He brought him back and said, death has no claim on him. And if we have faith in him, faith in Jesus Christ, which is faith in God, which is faith in the Holy Spirit, because they're all one, it's the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Guess what? When you were baptized, you weren't baptized in the name of Paul. You weren't baptized in the name of Saul. You weren't baptized in the name of Peter. If you were baptized in the Methodist Church, I can guarantee you were baptized in the name of God. Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, by water and Spirit, born from above. And he answered to Nicodemus, how can I? This faith of Abraham, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. When you read Hebrews 11, what is faith? Say, faith is the hope for things not yet seen. In other words, Abraham had a promise from God for something that there's no way he could conceive, conceptually, understand. No pun intended on the conceived part. How he was going to fulfill that? Sarah hasn't been able to conceive her entire life. What was going to change that? Change that. A miracle. Divine intervention. How in the world is a 13 or 14 year old young lady going to give birth to a child that she's never known again? Hello? If you choose not to believe it, I'm sorry for you because your faith is too short. God can do anything. With man, some things are difficult, but there is nothing that God cannot do. And other people say, well, he can't do what he's not going to do. He can't do what he's not supposed to do. Well, guess what? If God chooses not to do something, that's the only reason he doesn't do it. It's not because he can't. It's because he chooses not. There's nothing he can't do. Nothing he can't do. And that's save a sinner like me. Thief on the cross. All he did was, Lord, remember me. You don't get to heaven just because you follow a family tradition. say that it's the love of God made evident. That's His grace. Because we didn't merit it. Grace is freely given. We didn't earn it. He gives it. It's a free gift. That's grace. Why? Because He loves us. He owes us? I don't think so. Adam and Eve took care of that. Now, don't play me. Come on. Adam was just as good. She made me do it. Right, okay? That's not going to fly, buddy. Faith in His grace. His grace. Three times grace. For being in grace. Before we even know God, before we even know Christ, before we even know the Holy Spirit is working around us. While we're babies in our mother's arms, when we're babies in our grandmother's arms, when we're babies in our great grandmother's arms, God's prevenient grace is there at work in our lives already. And then there's the time we get the justifying grace. It's the time like when Summer was up here. And her dad comes to visit her, and they were both baptized. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And they renounced the forces of wickedness. They pledged to follow. And guess what? Everybody who was here that day took that same pledge, renewed that same pledge, that they were going to train them up and support them in the same way that would bring them to what? Life eternal. Which is how? Following Christ Jesus. Not necessarily being able to follow all the commandments and all the laws, because what does Jesus say when someone asks him, what's the greatest of the Ten Commandments? Did it start with 1, 2, 3, 4? Those all be able to God. Didn't go with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He got captured all in one. Love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength. And the second, no greater than this, is to love thy neighbor as thyself. For all the commandments are fulfilled in that. Jesus isn't here to make it difficult for you. Okay. 10 commandments, 2. Really 1. That justified grace is the start, as we pledge, as they pledge, for that sanctification. The sanctification is how the Holy Spirit works on us. And just as Jesus didn't leave anybody the way He found them, His promise is sanctification. John Wesley and all the ministers every year say, we're moving on to perfection. That's a pretty tough bill. But I have faith and hope for something that's not made evident yet, that I'm moving on to perfection. That's justification.
Peace and grace to you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.